This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Do you read anything into the Bears Weekly, Bradley Saul signing, which, oh boy. Do you read anything into the Bears Weekly, Bradley Saul signing, which included cutting backup Tyler Bray, presumably for a return to the practice squad? Does it mean Mitch will be back for New Orleans? A quarterback acquisition is in the offing, or simply, Saul is more likely to be signed than Bray?
Yeah, I think it's the latter one. I don't think that this really is much to read into. I think that they manipulate the practice squad. They know that Bray wants to stay there and wants to be a part of their team. And if somebody comes calling for him, I think they feel like they can just figure something out. But Bradley Saul is a blocking tight end. They've been moving him up and down and keeping him in and out. And they, you know, you do this with guys. You cut them late in the week so that they're not available because teams have their 53 going on the weekend. And then you re-sign them the next week. So this is, I think, I wouldn't read a ton into it. I think this is just the normal way of business. I don't think Bray's going anywhere. I think that it's interesting to me that with all the rumors out there, anytime something happens with a quarterback, you get an emergency text from someone who is concerned that that they're about to bring in Eli Manning. Yeah, yeah, that's not happening. No. So I wouldn't read a ton into it, but just other than the fact, and maybe this is just football stuff, could it be that they know Mitch is coming back, or could it be they know he's not coming back, so they put Bray back down to make the opponent work on two quarterbacks and then bring Bray back to be the backup next week?
That's more likely the case. Yeah. I think when you talk about gamesmanship, they have a Saints team that plays the Jaguars on Sunday, and then they have to probably start preparing for the Bears. And the next time the Bears have to make a move, this will be after that, and the Saints will have started their preparation. And you certainly have to prepare differently for Mitch Trubisky than you do for Chase Daniel because of your blitz packages, because of the way you'd attack them. You want one guy to play quarterback. You want one guy, you know, to flush him from the pocket. And I think they're two very different approaches. So you could look at it that way. Maybe it does. I think optimistically you'd like it to believe that it says that Mitch Trubisky's healing well and they expect him to be active, you know, against the Saints, because I think that would be progress. You want him back. You want him back taking snaps. I think, you know, backup quarterbacks, their shelf life is right around 3 games. And we've seen one good game and one bad game from Chase Daniel. You don't know what you're going to get against the Saints, and that's the problem. So maybe you don't know what you're going to get with Mitch Trubisky either, and we'll get to that in a second. But I think you certainly want to see him because he is going to be the guy that you project is going to have a better year if healthy. So I wouldn't read too much into it. I think Bradley Saul has been moved around. He's been this chess piece that they just back and forth and back and forth. And so that yesterday was the latest move, but I think it has more to do with probably preparation and gamesmanship than anything.
Boy, it must be the bye week, huh? We're starting off here with the little Tyler Bray action. And I know, you know, the backup quarterback is always the most popular guy in town. And in this town in particular, we've seen the backup quarterback now. So the third string quarterback is, oh, let me take a look at this Bray guy, maybe see what he's got. He's just a warm body to fill on the roster and be used in situations like this where you can kind of dump him away and then bring him back on the practice squad, because nobody's going to come sniffing around Tyler Bray to add him to their team. I'm not really sure the point is in keeping him, really. I mean, I guess break glass in case of emergency, and you got to use Tyler Bray if something happens to Chase Daniel, God forbid. But with the bye week and with what has kind of been going around with Mitch's injury, I don't think we'll ever have to see Tyler Bray in an NFL situation. I don't think it's ever going to come to that, thank goodness. I believe Mitch will be back for the New Orleans game. I don't think a quarterback acquisition is in the offing. Bradley Saul, I mean, you know, he's a guy. I'll say that. The tight end position, you guys talked about it a lot yesterday, has been pretty putrid in terms of both free agent signings and draft picks since Ryan Pace got to town. So this is just another guy to kind of throw in the mix there. Certainly not a pass catcher. I don't know if it's going to, you know, open up the run game or anything like that. If they're going to start stacking the box using jumbo sets, anything like that, I sincerely doubt. This is just, for me, bye week fodder. And Tyler Bray doesn't even register on my radar right now.
Yeah, that's likely all that it is just some roster shuffling. And as you guys alluded to, probably some gamesmanship. I mean, maybe it does mean Mitch will be back for New Orleans. Maybe we'll hear that. Maybe we'll hear, get an update on and some good news about the left shoulder situation. But yeah, likely that it's just some roster shuffling and gamesmanship to throw the Saints off for who they're preparing for and everything like that. So that's all it is. I don't think a QB acquisition is in the offing either. And the tight end position continues to be one that does not give you any production. So I don't know, maybe you actually see Bradley Saul get worked in and actually accomplish something, because that is one of the many needs on the offensive end of the ball for the Bears. They're not getting any production out of anybody, really.
I'll be the one. I'll buy in, okay? Because here's the thing. If you wanted to mess with the Bears, okay, go ahead and take the quarter. You want to talk about gamesmanship? Okay, I get that he has to be on the active roster.
Sign him.
Huh?
Sign him.
Yeah. Okay, so Mitch better be ready to go, because you can't risk this. The Bears, you know, we've been playing the arrogance cut, right, from Wayne Larrivee. They're in no position to be down to one quarterback and then all of a sudden to be having to run wildcat constantly, okay, because we know that the tight end that they signed for all that money doesn't have the gumption, okay, below the waist to actually play quarterback like he did in college. Okay, so they'd have to, because he doesn't want to run the trick play with the Bears.
I think it's sports hernia.
Is that what it is? Yeah. I think it's onions.
You know, Dave, it's a good question.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah, we got that.
Just to be clear.
On the Ryan Russillo podcast, former NFL player Chris Long, Kyle Long's brother, speculated that the Bears would let Mitch Trubisky go in 2020 and that you didn't want to hold the guy's hand in year three and year four. Is this indicative of what they might think in the Bears locker room, or nothing to see here?
Chris Long talks a lot. I mean, he has a lot to say, and a lot of what he has to say is very compelling stuff, and he's not shy. And on this podcast, it's sort of a stream of consciousness with Ryan Russillo. It's pretty interesting stuff. At one point, though, about the 46-minute level mark, he just says it matter-of-factly. He just says it matter-of-factly about, you know, he's going to be a guy they move on from in 2020, and you don't want to hold a quarterback's hand in year three or four. He said it so casually and so matter-of-factly that you wonder if this is just the tenor of the conversation that he may have, if they ever have conversations about the Bears, with his brother, with his family, whatever, because Kyle Long is in that locker room. Kyle Long is, you know, Mitch Trubisky's beer-chugging buddy in the offseason. He's a guy that is a, you know, considered a leader and a voice in the locker room at Hallis Hall. So it does make you wonder. And I think it only makes you wonder because we don't know what to think and what to make of Mitch Trubisky yet. And I think that is why in year three, here we are. Injury aside, you still have questions about his consistency and what he's going to be when you project it out. So I don't know that you want to just dismiss this out of hand. This is not a guy who says things that necessarily you dismiss out of hand, because he's a very interesting guy and he is a Long. And so I think that counts for something.
Okay, so what this is Kyle Long is on the Bears, so Chris Long follows the team. What Chris Long said about Mitchell Trubisky, any one of us could have said and probably have said already.
Mm-hmm.
That is not breaking news. I personally don't believe that the Bears know yet what they're going to do with Mitchell Trubisky. I think they're still waiting to see what happens when he comes back. And certainly if they end up riding Mitch and the defense to a Super Bowl, then things will look a lot different. I don't think that Ryan Pace goes to Kyle Long and spills his guts about the master plan. Oh, I should never have gotten Mike Glennon. And look what happened here with Mitch. I don't know what a quarterback looks like. I don't think any of that's happened. And I don't think Kyle is then turned around and called Chris and the guy broke down. He just fell apart by my locker. I don't think that's happened yet. So I think that I think this is just a guy that follows the Bears that is making the same comment that all of us would make when we look at year three of Mitch not figuring it out.
You're right, David. Chris Long does love to talk, and I usually like hearing him talk. I think he's a very intelligent guy. I think he's a thoughtful guy, and I didn't listen to this podcast. We have the audio we can play later. I didn't listen to it in its entirety, so I don't know what the context was for this. Dustin said he listened to the entire thing.
There is no context. That's the problem with podcasts. It just really came out of left field all of a sudden. They brought up the Bears like five times in the 90 minutes I spent on this thing, and then just out of blue, it was that.
I think that he's spot on. You don't want to hold a guy's hand. You know, Mitch isn't going to be a young quarterback forever. We're not always going to have the excuse that, oh, he only played 1 year at UNC. Oh, it's his second year in a new offense. It's third year in the league. He's 25. He's 26, blah, blah, blah. Those excuses are going to run out eventually. So Chris Long is spot on there. We're taking more credence in this, though, because of who his brother is and the fact that I'm sure that they have had many conversations about the Bears and about the quarterback and about, you know, their job. So Chris Long is retired. Maybe Kyle will be shortly, but that's beside the point. I think it's probably a prevailing opinion. Not a lot of guys are going to come out and say that. You want to back your teammates. You want to back the quarterback. He's supposed to be one of the leaders. But I'm sure there are players in that locker room with doubts that Mitchell Trubisky is going to be the guy to lead this team to a Super Bowl. So it's... it's not nothing to see here. It's somewhere in the middle of, wow, this kind of took me aback. But it's definitely something, and I think he's spot on with it. So, you know, if it was coming, you know, maybe Mitch Trubisky, if he has a brother, he's talking about how maybe Kyle Long should hang it up and stop letting his brother get, you know, mauled in the pocket so often. It goes both ways, you know. So we'll listen to the audio a little bit later, like I said. But this is, it definitely piqued my curiosity, I'll say that.
Yeah, Chris Long is just speaking the obvious here with the fact that, yeah, you don't want to hold a quarterback's hand in year three and year four. You don't. And, you know, David, you've said before, for the Bears to get to the Super Bowl they aspire to get to, that they just need decent Mitch. They need him to do the bare minimum, basically. He doesn't have to be great. He doesn't have to be a great quarterback. But he still has to prove himself. Maybe that's true. But he still has the rest of this season to prove that he can be at least the bare minimum or hopefully a little bit more than that. But we enter week 7, week 8. Hopefully when he gets back, we'll see. Sometime soon, hopefully. Hopefully he doesn't miss more time. Ryan Pace, he might be worried. And sure, the disposition he shows is a little sunnier. He's a little bit more optimistic sounding when we hear him in public talk about what we've seen from Trubisky, but we know that that's not the truth. We know that he must be worried. He has to be concerned. We all see what Mitch has been putting out there on the field, and it's not great. So you just need to see more. That's all I look into it is probably maybe him and Kyle Long talk about this, and it's true, but that's all it is right now is just talk.
The hand-holding part might be the part that actually is a direct quote from brother to brother, or what others inside that locker room feel like is going on between the quarterback and the head coach slash offensive coordinator slash play caller. The question was never whether he was going to get $30 million a year, but the question was he might get $20 million a year. There's no way you can pay that guy $20 million a year right now. Listen, I hope as a fan that he plays well enough the rest of the way that we're actually saying, you know what? Go ahead, pay Mitch Trubisky $20 million a year. Right now, I wouldn't pay him $10 million a year. And that's what his backup makes, okay, as the highest paid backup.
Kyler Bray?
That's a pretty easy question to answer.
Could the Dodgers choke affect the Cubs' managerial search if they fire Dave Roberts? Should the Cubs interview Roberts if he's available? And could the Cubs and Dodgers conceivably just swap managers in 2020?
No. I wouldn't it be horrible if Dave Roberts came here? I mean, does anybody want to see that? Have the Dodgers fire him over his failings and then you immediately pick him up and hire him?
He gets up early in the morning, though. Might be good for us.
Well, I mean, but I...
Would it?
I would not hire Dave Roberts after he fails in L.A. I don't think that it's going to be some stepping stone. I think L.A., you know, they got nothing but money. They got nothing but good players. And Dave Roberts is nothing if not going to be kind of the scapegoat for this whole thing. So I is that what the question is? Should the Cubs and Dodgers conceivably just swap scapegoats in 2020?
What it would be.
That's kind of what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
I do think that the owner is so in on Joe in Anaheim that's a great situation for Joe. So I think he's going there. I understand that there are connections and you could figure out a way of having the GM, but I think it's different when the owner is all in on you, and I think it's going home and he spent a lot of time there, and I don't know.
Well, I think there's a lot of steps here.
I think there's a lot of things would have to happen.
First of all, they'd have to be so dissatisfied with what happened that they fired Dave Roberts. And now, I'm not saying that won't happen, because you don't know how dissatisfied they are and fed up they are with finishing without a World Series title. And I think Dave Roberts, even though he's had a 6.06 winning percentage since taking over in 2016, you know, we have seen in this town, if you're not happy with the way things are going, no matter how much you win during the regular season, you're going to move on. Maybe they do move on. If that were to happen, Dave Roberts and Theo Epstein have a history. They have a past. And this coaching search or managerial search is dealing with guys who, obviously, David Ross has a past with Theo. You know, you look at guys who are on this list, it wouldn't be crazy for them to interview Dave Roberts if he were to pop available in the next 3 to 5 days. I couldn't rule that out. And as for Madden in L.A., it makes so much sense to me that if they do move on, if they do the things that we just described, hey, Joe Madden may be comfortable with the Angels. That may be the smartest thing he could do, but I'm not sure he could resist that. I'm not sure he could resist the chance to work with Andrew Friedman again, to actually have some money to spend, unlike they did in Tampa Bay, and go to try to win another World Series, because they're closer to winning a World Series with the L.A. Dodgers than they are with the Anaheim Angels.
Can you imagine what he'd do with that lineup for the lineup East is out there?
Bullpen.
Can you imagine moving guys around that
imagine
team?
The bullpen, how much that would be.
Oh, it'd be so much fun.
So Dave Roberts, just for the record, he signed a contract extension last December through 2022. So if they do want to move on from him, they're going to have to pay him through 2022. And the Cubs managerial search after Joe Girardi, David Ross expected today. Also, Gordon with a nice little nugget. Carlos Beltran, source says, it could be on the list.
Put him in the lineup, too.
Yeah, why not?
guy can probably still work a better at bat than half the guys in that Cubs lineup. But there's a lot to unpack here. First of all, as far as Dave Roberts goes, I'm kind of on the record saying I don't put a ton of stock into managers in baseball. I think it's mostly throughout the course of a year in the long haul, kind of a turnkey operation. If you've got great players, you're going to have a good record at the end of the year. But come playoff time, when it comes down to these very, very slim margins and every decision is magnified to the most extreme degree, and a bullpen decision can absolutely haunt you and unravel your team, we've seen that with Dave Roberts now twice, 2 years in a row. I mean, let's not forget the whole Ryan Madsen debacle from last season, which essentially lost them the World Series. So that was a disaster. And in the first segment, I said they probably should have gotten rid of him last year, all things considered, after how poor that was. And then you saw history repeat itself in a rather unfortunate way if you're a Dodgers fan yesterday, bringing in a Clayton Kershaw who is not the same Clayton Kershaw that he was 6, 7, 8 years ago, when Dodgers did have plenty of other options to go ready in that bullpen. It was just another horrendous move. So I would not be surprised to see Dave Roberts go. As far as Joe Madden going to the Dodgers, if that job becomes available, they are a team with a lot of money. They're a team with a lot of talent. They play on the West Coast. It's L.A. It's Hollywood. I think it would be a very appealing landing spot for one Joe Madden if that job did indeed open up. But at this point, with the Dodgers and bringing back Roberts after last season, I'm not convinced they're going to fire him after this one either. I mean, it's going to take, I guess, at least 3 or 4 more postseason debacles before they finally cut ties with this guy. But if the job were there, Joe Madden, I'm sure, would be very interested And I'm sure that the Dodgers, they're not shy about spending money, would be interested in bringing him in as well.
I think that if Joe if this happens, if Roberts were to lose his job, that, yeah, the Dodgers would have interest in Joe Madden. But I don't think it would work the other way around. I just don't think that you look at, as Kevin just alluded to, the questionable decisions made in the past couple of postseason appearances by Roberts, that is a confidence-inspiring pick. I don't think they would hire him. I don't even think they would consider him for an interview. So I think it would work one way, but not for the Cubs. I don't think the Cubs would even consider interviewing him.
No shot.
That was a great question, and I appreciate it.
Succinct today.
What did you think of the Cardinals' record-setting first inning yesterday, and did they err by not pulling Jack Flaherty and saving him for the opening game of the National League Championship Series?
Well, as I said, I get it. He's 23 years old. You don't want to mess around with bringing him back and maybe the irregularity of pitching. You know, he gets ready to start, and then you don't have him throw a pitch, or you have him throw one inning, and you bring him back for the NLCS on Friday. That's not really smart baseball or preservation of his health. At the same time, I mean, it did cross my mind, and I think it's a legitimate conversation point, because you look at around the league in the playoffs. It's an orthodox time in baseball. You use starters as relievers. The Nationals are still alive only because of their willingness to do that. I know Max Scherzer is special. He's unique. He's also 35 and had a terrific career already. So maybe the risk is less involved. But Strasburg did the same thing, and I wouldn't necessarily call him Mr. Durability. I think that you have to look at this is a nod to the rest of their rotation with Mikolas and with Wainwright and with just the guys that they have faith in. But I also think if you're a Cardinals fan and you're up 10-0 and he has yet to throw a first pitch, if you weren't thinking about, I wonder if he would just be – what could we do to get him ready for game one on Friday? Because if you pitch game one, he could pitch game – four. And if he pitches game four, maybe he could pitch game seven, because we are all in, every game matters, and there's no rules apply to the postseason anymore. So this traditional way of looking at it, I think, is understandable, and yet I'm not sure that we're in the traditional way of looking at postseason baseball when it comes to your best pitcher at the most crucial times in games and in series. So I understand what they did, but I might have not thrown him 104 pitches. I might have gone a little bit more. And if I was going to err on the side of being conservative, get him five, get him three, get him whatever. But I don't know that I would have thrown 104.
Well, yeah, now it means that the earliest he's going to be able to pitch in the NLCS is game three. And, you were up 13 runs very early by the third inning in that game. So I understand why. But, I think that you got to win that game. I think that it's an elimination game. You can't look at a 10-run lead and say, and again, this has never happened before in the playoffs. What Mike Schmidt did, it never happened before. 10 runs to open a game is the most in the history of the postseason of Major League Baseball.
Before you're even in your seat.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. You take, let's say, I got to get out of work early because the game starts. I'm going to get over there and parking's so bad.
Stuck in traffic?
What?
Keep driving.
It's the most horrifying thing.
Don't they all walk
thing.
In late anyway yeah. there? I mean, it's...
That is like my nightmare as a sports fan is the big anticipation, playoff game, elimination. I got tickets. I'm so excited. And then it's over before you even take a drink of your
what's
beer.
What's worse, that you go to sit down in your seat and your team is down 10? Or you leave early and the ace gives up a couple homers in the eighth and then you lose with a grand slam in the 10th? Or if you're a fan of the team, you leave early because you're down and Kershaw's in out of hell with it. Come on. What's worse? Look, I think they made the right move by leaving him in. And once he's in, you just let the guy pitch. He's a young guy. He'll be fine. He'll be back for game three. And I get it.
He's fine. He's got an arm.
Maybe 3-7. Is that what we're looking at? He'd still be able to get a couple games in. And I think you have to trust your rotation. And I think I think it was a move you had to make. If you imagine us sitting here now and they had decided to Dusty Baker this kid and they lost that game somehow. Imagine that. It would be another historic thing that happened in baseball. I think you got to win the damn game.
Yeah, you win the game. He was ready to go. You know, pitchers are obviously creatures of habit, maybe more so than any other position in sports. So he was preparing for the previous 3 or 4 days for this game. It was his turn. Maybe you don't throw him 100 pitches. I'm kind of with you there, but you certainly start him. Wait your turn. You certainly start him. And he is a young guy. He's durable. He's thrown a ton of pitches so far this year and hasn't, you know, shown any signs of wear or tear. He's gotten stronger as the season has gone on. So I think they made the right decision. Cardinals' first inning was crazy. This was a team that I didn't even think was going to sniff the playoffs a couple of months ago. Here they are again with their Cardinals voodoo and their black magic, whatever the hell they're doing down there in that podunk town. But, you know, Jack Flaherty, really good-looking young guy. Did you guys see his mom yesterday? A big wow. Hug, big hug in the stands. I know where he got it from now.
Jeez, you are. That's the old, you know how you know you're getting older when you start what you just did there.
I don't disagree with that either.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that first inning. I mean, as a Cubs fan, my God, I was rooting for the Braves. I'm happy the Brewers got eliminated from the postseason. And then I was really rooting hard for the Braves. And just to see the way they went out, just to see how dominant the Cardinals were to eliminate them yesterday. God, it's just, I hate it. I hate it. But in terms of the decision to leave Flaherty in for as long as they did, I mean, yeah, he's young. He'll be okay. There could have been maybe, you know, maybe could have pitched him one less inning. But it's going to be fine the way you saved your bullpen. You got to look at it, you know, in that way, right? Look at the positives. You were able to just go one pitcher an inning the rest of the way. So you had a great outing by your young stud in the rotation. And then you save your bullpen. I don't know. Everything's all right. But if Flaherty gets lit up and looks bad in his next outing, which I doubt he will. But if he does, we will look back on this like, bad decision.
That's what I'm hoping happens, right? Okay, because you had to be that way. How about after the third inning? Listen, you could have at least had him ready for game two. I get that he wasn't going to be able to pitch Friday. Okay, but, you know, he could have. I mean, you could have just said, you know what? We're going bullpen today. Listen, we're going bullpen today. He had his session. He warmed up. We're saving him now for Friday. Okay, because then all of a sudden you have him for game one, a relief spot in the middle, you know, starting game five and starting game seven potentially, right? If it goes that far. So this could really backfire, and boy, I hope it does backfire. Okay, boy, I hope it does backfire. I mean, that ruined my afternoon.
Well, I mean, if you hadn't been cheering against him, you know what I'm saying? There's no way they win unless you were going after him.
It's baseball karma.
Dustin was rooting for the Braves.
Exactly, and he made that happen.
The Dustin stink to Atlanta.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
It might have had something to do with baseball karma when they, you know, basically kept on doing the chop when they outlawed the chop.
Why are we still doing that, huh?
I know. Come on,
guys. I'm glad they lost. Go Cards!
See?
Oops.
Go Cards?
Yeah.
Ooh. Actually, no, I'm going for the Nats because some handsome, intrepid radio producer picked the Nationals to win the World Series before the season started, so I got to ride with them now, right?
I think you should go Cards go.
Shep picked the Nats?
I said handsome.
It's a tough one, Bruce. It's a very fair question and obviously a ripe one.
And intrepid. A Red Sox reporter from NBC Sports Boston told Chuck Garfine's podcast why J.D. Martinez would make so much sense for the White Sox. How realistic is that? And how big of a priority should signing Martinez be if he does opt out of his contract?
I'm all over this one, okay? I listened to that, and I got to tell you, it was a delight. We have to play back some of that because he also talked about what kind of influence he has on other players around him. I got to tell you, I'm all over this. I think it'd be a great signing. I think give him the 3-year, $25 million, that'd be perfect, right? If you have to go with the $100 million over 4 years, hey, what the hell? They got tons of money. They got all that money they didn't spend. So you could still go out and get pitching and get everything else you need, and you could bring in a guy who, again, you're not tempted to use him in the outfield. Nobody in the National League wants him, right? So it's you have a guy that can rub off on all the rest of these players, and it would be phenomenal.
Look at you with your Sox hat today. What time do season tickets go on sale? I think that is a good idea. It's definitely something that he should consider because if he stays, he's got 3 years and $60 million left on his deal with the Red Sox. If he goes to free agency and opts out of that contract, you know he's going to be a $100 million guy. Boris is his agent, right? So four for 100, five. I don't know how long you go, you know, into a commitment for him, but if you're the White Sox, you have to make that, you know, a priority. So much of it makes sense because of his limited, because he can only DH, so that eliminates the National League. He's not a guy you're going to put in the outfield. The only question is that, number one, who are you bidding against? Number two, how does this affect your commitment to Jose Abreu? Because does it? Or is this a higher priority than re-signing Jose Abreu? Because that is a guy you project is probably a DH after next season. And then what do you do with Andrew Vaughn? So there are some questions you have to answer, but I think because of all the intangibles, and because of his production at the plate, you've got to put this near the top of your priority list if he comes available. As important as it is getting an ace, because it's probably more realistic you're going to land this guy. And hey, based on what you heard, maybe he could double as hitting coach.
Well, J.D. Martinez is a fantastic hitter, obviously. And if he is available, the White Sox should be first in line to offer him a contract. Whether he's DHing or butchering it up in the outfield, I don't really care. As long as he's, you know, smacking 35 to 40 home runs a year, that's what you pay the man for. So if he's available, no-brainer. He's on my White Sox wish list for the upcoming season, along with Yasmani Grandal, potentially Nick Castellanos, potentially a couple of starting pitchers. Maybe not Gerrit Cole, might be a little bit of a high price tag there, but there are other options available.
It's a wish list. Throw them all on it.
If it's a wish list, then yeah, Strasburg will opt out. He'll come here, get Gerrit Cole on board. Anthony Rizzo, Cubs will decline his option. He can come play on the south side if
Cup
he wants. Cup for life, except for when he was with the Padres.
And the Red Sox.
It's realistic if he opts out because they have money and he fills a need. So it's just a matter of, will he try to get the hell out of Boston? I wouldn't blame him if he wanted to. And again, if he's here, he should be the number one priority if he is available.
This is very realistic. He's a Scott Boras client. He's going to go where the money is. Hey, the White Sox have money to spend.
Woohoo!
Look at that. This is very realistic.
Jerry really stepped up.
Hey, Jerry, this guy will get you into second place.
Hey, come on, Jerry. Step up, because they should make this a big priority. I mean, he will not only produce for you on the field, but, you know, as you guys mentioned, the influence he has in the clubhouse. I mean, Mookie Betts credited the great year that he had to J.D. Martinez. What else do you need? This is a perfect fit.
That was overly generous, though. I mean, you're right, he did. But boy, Mookie Betts is pretty good being Mookie Betts.
He's just a nice guy.
He is just a nice guy, isn't he? Yeah.
Hey, bring him on, too.
Wish list.
That's tomorrow's question. Would you rather have Mookie Betts or J.D. Martinez? Or could both Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez be on their way to Chicago? Find out tomorrow.
Keep it here. We're talking about it.
I don't know if it'll be as funny as it was the first time, but we're at 5:58. 15 mark shot.
Shot. I like it. It's 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.